Andrew Ferguson is a contributing writer for The Atlantic. He's been a journalist and writer since 1984. He joined The American Spectator as an editorial assistant. By the time he left The Spectator, he was assistant managing editor and a monthly columnist. He stayed in journalism ever since 1984, with the exception of the year 1992, when he served as a White House speechwriter for President George H.W. Bush, the first Bush. Then he worked as a senior editor at Washingtonian magazine, and then joined the Weekly Standard as its founding and senior editor. And he's contributed to Time magazine. He's writing cultural subjects, books, reviews, political commentary. He has a long history. He wrote for a commentary magazine, columnist for Fortune, Forbes, National Review, Wall Street Journal, Bloomberg News. He's contributed to The New Yorker, New York Magazine, Los Angeles Times, New Republic, New York Times. He's authored three books: Politics, Histories, and Culture, Fools' Names, Fools' Faces. Also a book on Abraham Lincoln, and also One Dad's Crash Course on getting his kid into college. The college admissions, which is pretty funny because we recently had this college admission scandal, and it's actually a comedy book. Welcome. And then now he's working on a book on Richard Nixon for Simon & Schuster. Welcome to Radio Real Estate, Andrew Ferguson.
Well, thank you for having me, Mark.
Well, I'm really surprised you're even here. After reading that introduction, I started wondering why you're on my program. I'm glad you could take the time. And I didn't mention that comedy book you wrote about getting into college admissions was actually optioned back in the day by Will Ferrell, but that doesn't sound like it's going to come out, or who knows?
Well, he bought a couple of options, meaning he bought the rights to make the movie, and then he ran out of options. And if he'd given me more money, I would have been more than happy to let him buy another option, but he declined to do that. So now it's sitting around. There's still some, you know, it's one of these Hollywood things. It never ends. So it's still technically out there. I think the last thing my agent told me was he had gotten an interesting email from, I can't remember the guy. Oh, the guy who's on Arrested Development. What's the star? Bateman, Justin Bateman.
Love him.
Yeah. But that was more than a year ago, so I doubt anything's going to come from it.
But
a friend of mine who'd had a lot of books optioned in Hollywood, he's a novelist. When this all happened, I asked him, you know, do you have any tips on dealing with Hollywood and agents and studios and all that kind of stuff? And he said, yes, it's very simple. As long as you remember that everyone is lying to you all the time about everything, you'll be fine.
It reminds me of the TV show House, and that was his premise. Everybody lies. But the fact that the college admission scandal hit within this last year makes me think that now maybe that could boost your credibility here. Maybe they would want to do something with it.
Well, that's a good point. There actually was a bump up in sales, I think, when all of that was going on.
Huh. Maybe, and you know what? Maybe you should, you can get the women who served prison time, you can get them to star in it. Be a great, you know, it's just like, I feel like you could be my guest for the next 8 weeks and we still wouldn't be able to scratch the surface because you've done so much, written three books, magazines. And so we're going to jump around and try to get in as much as we can. I know now you've been commissioned by Simon & Schuster to write a book on Richard Nixon.
That's right.
And now this program is live and then rebroadcast multiple times, but it's right now live June 21st, 2021. Does that date mean anything to you?
Not offhand.
Okay. Well, here's a little something that you can connect to your book about Richard Nixon, because on June 21st, 1941, Richard Nixon married Pat Nixon.
Well, there you go. So that would be actually their 80th wedding anniversary.
Oh, quick math. Very good. Very good. And wow. So maybe when you dedicate the book, you could reference June 21st, you were on my program, and I gave you this bit of information.
History was made twice on this day.
Actually, a third time. Here's another bit of presidential trivia. Zachary Taylor, in 1810 on June 21st, also married his future first lady.
Wow.
So, and then I learned that one of their six children, one of his daughters, married Jefferson Davis, who became president of the Confederacy.
Oh, yeah. Verina Davis. Yeah, she's quite an interesting figure.
Oh, my God. You knew her name. There's a bit of trivia. We wouldn't get much trivia past you. So there you go. Now, do you think you end up, and then I want to ask you a few questions about this book you're writing on Richard Nixon. Do you think you end up contacting his two daughters? They're still alive.
Well, interestingly, I was just down at the Nixon Library in Yorba Linda for speaking of anniversaries, a party to celebrate the 50th wedding anniversary of Tricia Nixon and her husband, Edward Cox. And I don't know if you remember, you're too young, but in 1971, there was a huge to-do. She had a Rose Garden wedding. It was on all the TV networks and had huge ratings and so on. So they had. So I met her at that garden party last weekend. And but both she and her sister, there's two sisters, are very circumspect, and as far as speaking on the record, they've hardly ever gone on the record talking about their family life. So it's very rare that anybody gets access to them as historical sources.
Now, how did you get invited to this type of an event?
Well, I've been working with people at the library down there in Yorba Linda. Of course, it's been closed because of the damn pandemic, but they're starting to open up again. And so they just invited me as a courtesy. And also, well, I didn't tell them, and I certainly didn't tell Tricia Nixon, but I had a huge crush on her when I was 13 years old. And I was very good last weekend. I didn't like lunge at her and say, "You have no idea how much I loved you when I was 13. So I was very good.
And she might be, you know, what, 8 years older than you? Not too much?
She is 75, so she's a fair bit older than me.
So she might have been 20. Okay, but she wasn't like 40 and you were 13. It wasn't that weird.
No. It was weird. It was. Don't get me wrong. It was weird, but it wasn't that weird.
No, I think it's healthy. I think it's healthy. If you're 13 and she's 23, that sounds okay to me, or 25, whatever she was. So, okay, good. Well, I did, because my trivia, I kind of looked down and I did see about Julie and Tricia, and I didn't really realize that Tricia is actually, her full name is Patricia, named after her mother, but they always called her Tricia. Yeah. So you have this little connection, and I asked you if you might talk to them. When Simon and Schuster, somehow you cut a deal with your agent, and did you get as much upfront money as Governor Cuomo did for his book in New York?
No, but I didn't screw up as big as he did. So I think there's like a relation.
Yeah, we want to keep it.
If you end up killing like 10,000 old people by shoving them back into from the hospital with COVID, then you get the big bucks. But if you're just somebody, you know, writing a book about Richard Nixon, you don't get that kind of money.
Well, let's see. Now that you're in Santa Barbara and we met, maybe I can help you with some controversy to drum up for your book. So when someone approaches you, you've written a few books already, you're a seasoned writer, somehow it comes up and you get it, you strike a deal, they pay you some money up front. Do they tell you, "We want you to write a book about Richard Nixon from this perspective. We want you to cover this." Or do they just say to you, "Hey, we know you, we like you, write a book?
Well, in my case, it's pretty much the latter. I had signed to do a book that was actually supposed to be kind of a sequel to Crazy You, the book about college admissions. And then for various reasons, that didn't work out. And so I kind of had this contract that was fill in the blank as to what the subject matter was going to be. And then about a year ago, I got this idea. I could write a book about Nixon. That's interesting enough. I could stay interested in that. And so I told them, and they said, fine, go ahead. And every book takes shape different ways. There's really no set pattern to how these things are done.
And where are you at in the process? Like, when did you start and when do you expect to finish?
Well, I had a full-time job at The Atlantic, and I left that to work on this book in last fall. And then I've come out here to California, and that was earlier in February. So I've been at it now for whatever this is, 8 months, 9 months.
Oh, okay.
And I'll probably, I think my deadline is the end of 2022. So it would be published in late 2023.
Oh my God. I guess I had no clue how long it takes to write a book and how much time they give you. I thought you were going to say the end of 2021.
No, there's no way I could do it that fast.
Wow. Wow. My guest is author Andrew Ferguson. He's penned multiple books and he's been a writer since 1984. And he living in Santa Barbara. It's funny you mention Yorba Linda, and he's writing a book on Nixon. I was going to joke and ask you why you're in Santa Barbara. You could be living in Yorba Linda or San Clemente or New York, where he died.
That's right. That's right.
So why Santa Barbara?
Well, I wanted to be out in California. I thought that would help my research a little bit. I lived in Los Angeles and around there for many years when I was younger. I lived up in San Francisco and Berkeley, and so I didn't really want to go back to either of those places. I didn't want to live in Orange County for obvious reasons. So I just thought Santa Barbara's always been a wonderful place, so I'll just set up camp there.
And so you're originally an East Coast guy?
I was born and raised in Chicago. Then I moved out here, went to college at Occidental College in Los Angeles, and stayed around in Los Angeles for a few years trying to be a musician. And then I went to graduate school at Berkeley. So I've spent a lot of time in California. I've spent the last 30 years or so on the East Coast in Washington, D.C.
You know, in preparing for the interview, I was talking with my buddy, and he started Googling Richard Nixon, started coming up with this trivia. And I do today in history. That's why I knew about June 21st and Trisha Nixon getting married, or rather Richard Nixon getting married, as well as the other president. So we kept digging into Nixon, and he was related to one of the founders of Cornell University. And I guess he was born into a Quaker family. And when he died in New York, he actually died in either a hospital named Cornell or a wing of the hospital named Cornell. Again, total meaningless trivia, but I found it interesting. I doubt it. You'll mention it in your book.
Yeah, I don't think that will rise to the level.
So you must do so much research. I don't know how many books have been written about Nixon. What take perspective, you know, they left it up to you. What's going to be the path?
Well, now you sound like my editor. This is the kind of thing she keeps asking me. And if I'm not going to tell her, I'm not going to tell you either.
Well, it's funny you should mention that because we have your editor on the line.
Oh, she's that's great.
Joining
that's
us great. Today. You know, I've never, I don't know if I've ever interviewed someone who's written books. I'm sure I have, but this is so current and so interesting. And you're so at just at the beginning of the book, so there's not too much we're going to talk about it. But did you watch the Frost-Nixon interviews?
I watched them when they happened, and then I've seen the movie and the play since then. And I've talked to people who were actually involved in the original setting up of the interviews and stuff. Nixon had a fairly skilled set of researchers who helped him with those interviews.
Huh.
And that worked behind the scenes. And I've talked to those guys about that.
So you don't think, I mean, depending on how you go and which path you take, you won't contact either Tricia Nixon or Julie Nixon?
Well, I'm sure I'll make a gesture towards trying to get them to talk to me. As I say, it's just a matter of history that they simply don't cooperate with books and writers about their father.
Right. Right.
So, I mean, I'll do it in a pro forma sort of way, and it would be great if we have friends in common, and it would be great if I could get a friend to intercede and say, "Hey, this guy's a good guy. He's not gonna double cross you or anything like that." On the other hand, you know, you can't make representations to. This is the tricky thing about trying to write about people in nearer history. You can't promise anybody anything. You can't say, okay, if you cooperate with me, I can make sure that I'll go easy on this or that aspect of your father's life or something. That's definitely not my style, and I don't think that's particularly ethical. You have to talk to people on your own terms.
Right, and the book, I mean, Nixon did a lot of terrific things, but you just don't know, is the book going to be a very aggressive hatchet job book on someone's life, or it could be neutral, or it could be very complimentary, I guess. And so,
yeah, well, this book is more about Nixon's role in American life. You know, how was he treated as a symbol? Why did so many people despise him so much? What role did he play in the development of our politics, our diplomacy, that kind of thing? So it's not, I don't think it's going to be a particularly judgmental book in that way. I hope it's going to be light and fun to read and funny in parts. Because I still think of Nixon as kind of a slightly comical figure. You know, he was physically awkward. He had that amazing voice and sort of stuffy manner of speaking. And so anyway, I think there's a lot there that's interesting to think about his role in American history and culture.
My guest is author and writer Andrew Ferguson, and he has written multiple books and been writing since 1984, currently working on a book on Richard Nixon. Yes, and I agree with you, you know, the debates when he was sweating against JFK, and he didn't challenge the vote, which is kind of interesting. Are you going to get into Watergate at all? Because one question I have is, if there was no Watergate, or if he never got caught, are you going to speculate what would have happened in the book, and you know how well he was doing before that happened, and how he might have succeeded in other ways?
Well, that's definitely something that you have to deal with. I mean, certainly you can't write about Nixon without writing about Watergate. I mean, certainly not at book length. You know, if Watergate hadn't happened, I like those kind of what if histories, those sort of counterfactuals. One of the things people forget, when Watergate was unfolding, which would have been from late 1972 through Nixon's resignation in 74, the economy was terrible. Inflation was really taking off. Productivity had declined. The GNP, as it was then called, the gross national product, had slowed to a standstill pretty much. Unemployment was a problem, getting worse. Stagflation was being born then, a phenomenon that no economist had ever thought was possible. And inflation is deeply destructive to people's businesses and their economic expectations. So he was in trouble anyway, you know. And there are some historians who say credibly that if the economy had been roaring, people wouldn't have paid as much attention to Watergate, or they wouldn't have let, it wouldn't have weighed so heavily on their appraisal of the president.
And would he not have faced impeachment? He might have just skated?
I think, I haven't decided my own opinion on that, but there are historians who say that, who said that he would have been able to weather this if people had not already felt destabilized by the fact that the economy was in such bad shape.
Well, since my guest, Andrew Ferguson, he's just been writing about politics since 1984, we have to take a commercial break. We'll come back. I wanted to follow up on that because, you know, JFK before him and in the era of the 60s certainly got away with a lot of things. People overlooked a lot of things. And it was interesting that we ended up on that note about Nixon and the economy, and maybe he would not have been forced to resign. My guest is author Andrew Ferguson. Author of three books. We haven't talked about any of the three books. Abe Lincoln, a couple, some great books, but we're talking about a book he hasn't even written yet. So Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com. Stay tuned. More with Andrew Ferguson.